Yes, dear brothers and sisters, I believe that we can always praise the grace of our Lord and the faithfulness of our Lord. We are so glad and so grateful that He has kept us until this hour and has been gracious and wants to continue to lead and guide us. Before we pray together, I would like to read a psalm, Psalm 5. Let us read Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. This is something very special, and I believe that this is also the longing of all our hearts, that God would hear our words and our prayers, that He would listen to our sighs when we sometimes find ourselves in different situations and circumstances, as this man of God, David, probably. And it was therefore very important to him that he not only prays in the wind, but that the words he sends up to God are actually heard. I believe that the same is true for us. And I believe that we also want him to hear our words and our prayers and to listen to our sighs, because we also live in the same world and come into different situations in life. And then the only desire in all of us is that God may hear us, but not just any other time, but also tonight, that He may hear us and pay attention to what we bring to Him, because we don't want anything special, but we really want Him to help us in all our needs and help us every day and every hour, because there is much oppression and distress in this world. But we can say these words here with David, but I don't think they should just be words. They must come from deep within the heart and reach the throne of God. He then goes on to say, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up, whether early in the morning, or late in the evening, or at night. It is our desire, again and again, that He would meet us in the same way He met His people again and again. I believe that these men have not called in vain, nor will we call in vain, but He will hear all our petitions and all our supplications. He says in verse 5, for thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house, in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. What a grace it is in our day too, dear brothers and sisters, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord. Many would like to dwell in the house of the Lord, would like to be in this place. They have no opportunity. Believe me, many brothers and sisters have already expressed this. They have a desire to be here among the people of God, under the sound of the word. David said it here and expresses it. But I may come in the multitude of thy mercy, not just mercy, but in the multitude of thy mercy, I may come into thy house. It is also only grace that we can be here. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Not worshipping men, in the temple of God, they expected God and prostrated themselves in faith, knowing that God heard them. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Yes. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. David prayed like this, because there were many enemies around him. If we think back to when Stephen was stoned, he prayed, Lord, do not count their sin against them. That is the difference. In the Old Covenant, men still prayed for revenge for their enemies. In the New Covenant, they prayed for mercy. It goes on to say, But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. May the Lord also bless us tonight. May he hear our words, our prayer. I believe that we do not just want to utter empty words, but when we come to him, we really want to offer him honor and worship from the depths of our hearts, and also the intercessions for our dear brothers and sisters who asked that we pray for them. Let us rise to pray together. Faithful God, we come before you in lowliness and with bowed hearts and bowed spirits. We also thank you, Lord, that according to your great grace, we may worship in your house, that we may bring your word before us here. And we expect that you will also bless us, that you will continue to speak to us. Lord, take away all our iniquities, take away all our transgressions, take away all our faults, everything that is not pleasing to you in my life, in all our lives, O God. For we are human, forgetful and weak, O Lord. But we look up to you, Lord, and we want to praise your grace all the time, which has carried us up to this hour. Lord, we are so glad that we are among your people and among those to whom you have been especially gracious in these days. Lord, we ask you to give us all grace and to all those, Lord, who are perhaps now directing their thoughts here and are in expectation, O faithful God, that you may touch them and that you may help them. Have mercy on them all, O God. Have mercy on us tonight, O Lord, and speak to us, Lord. Hear my words, Lord. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to our sighs, O Lord. You know our hearts. You know what we will pray, Lord. What is deep in our hearts, Lord. Lord, may you give grace to many. Come to your right in this hour. We worship you and ask you to help our brothers and sisters Mauschat and also the other brothers and sisters who have asked that we pray for them. May you have mercy on all, O God. May you touch them now, Lord. For we know that you have not yet changed. You are still the same. As in the beginning, so at the end, Lord. You still have mercy, Lord. Your hands of grace are still outstretched. And therefore we worship you and ask you to be with us. Bless our brother as he brings your word tonight. Be the word in his mouth, Lord. Bless him. Bless all of us who will hear and help us, Lord. And then we are helped. Praised and glorified be your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Today I have the wish that everyone moves up to the first half. It is just better for prayer. You know, when you pray, the coals that are supposed to give off heat have to be quite close together. But anyway, maybe from today onwards, we'll just take it to heart that we occupy the first part here and move together in spirit, shoulder to shoulder, believing in our Lord. I'm sorry, I've had a number of prayer requests that have been left on the desk, but God knows them all. God knows all the needs, not just ours, but all that is among mankind. I was affected earlier, although it is an earthly matter, but because I have been to India so often, and when I heard that the president was murdered by two of her bodyguards with 16 shots, I had to think to myself, bodyguards whose job it should be to protect her, shot her full of holes, and she is no longer among the living. Apart from how you feel about a system or a woman president or whatever, but everyone has the right to live, and no one has the right to take the life of another. But as Brother Branham predicted, the world will be a madhouse, and so it is. And we must be careful to point our weapons against all attempts of the enemy and to maintain and keep the field. The weekend was good. I experienced something special in Salzburg. As you know, it's not a very big crowd there, but it's always intimate and beautiful, a warm atmosphere, as is generally innate to Austrians. And then there's also the divine. Then everyone feels at home. I was also happy in Zurich. It was well attended again. As you know, all that talking does influence people. Nothing can be done about it. We are still on earth. And as long as there is something to talk about, people will talk. Sometimes people even talk when there is nothing to talk about. And actually it should stop. But I really don't know when that will be. We just hope that among us, and this I really don't mean now directed against individuals or anyone, but I put myself among them and wish everyone else could too, that we held our tongues, didn't say anything unless we were convinced that it was true. And if it is something negative, then we should also keep quiet afterwards. Who can remember the sermon of Brother Branham, who said, talk in a church is like, who knows? That's what the Bible says. Like a cancer, that's what the Bible says. Like an acid that corrodes everything. And we need to realize that. All our prayers, as Brother Rus has already mentioned, should ascend to the throne of God. Yes, but from what heart do they come? How can they ascend to God? Something must happen to all of us. And everyone must be prepared to simply say, Lord, here I am, take me as I am. And the moment we put a stop to the enemy, the door is opened to the Lord. It can't be any other way. It can't be because of the proclamation. It can't be because of God either. I have sometimes said it here. If we had only preached the word as brothers in this place, we would be blaming ourselves. And we do that anyway. But we have carefully translated Brother Branham's sermons all these years and have a right to expect a harvest, a blessing that should correspond to the words that have been spoken to us. It is difficult for me to stand here tonight because I am a person who is deeply touched by everything. Deeply touched, not just personally, but because I know that time is short. Because I am convinced that the Lord wants to confirm His word. Because I expect that all the promises that have been made must be fulfilled. When Brother Rus said earlier, many long to be here, I can only say yes and amen to that. And if I were to say that thousands around the world would fly, if it were possible, to be here, then that is no exaggeration. But what a pain I felt when our brother said that, and I thought about it. What do we who are here do with the time God gives us? How do we use it? And what responsibility do we take upon ourselves? What I have never done before, I'm going to do tonight. And I'm only doing it because I want to learn a lesson for myself and for all of us. And I'm doing it because it involves people I can do it with. I've never followed up when something was said. I've never asked questions. I've just been moved somehow. But I've never gone to anyone and asked, is that true? Is it not true? But when massive things are put out there, and when people are named, and what they are supposed to have said is also named, then if you have real doubts about it, you have to have the opportunity to ask whether it's true. And that's what I did last Friday. I asked him, I asked her. Neither did he say so, nor did she make a phone call about the matter. I'm only mentioning this to say here in this place how dangerous it is to keep saying and spreading things that can never be made good, even in 1,000 years. It has no value. We have to realize that we are not here to carry such things around, but if they really do exist, then we are here as brothers and sisters and can go to the brothers and sisters concerned and ask, and if necessary, provide clarification or help and advice. If the most impossible things are said about me, I have put up with it all. But I'm quite honest. I did not want to be in the shoes of those who have consciously or unconsciously, intentionally or unintentionally, harmed the work of God for $1 million, pounds, and whatever there is on earth, or stand in the shoes of those on the Day of Judgment. We must realize what character assassination means. Those who have not realized that a person's character is trampled in the mud and reviled beyond recognition, what that means. There is no unbeliever with a modicum of decency and education who could display or afford such behavior. What should we as people who want to spend eternity together with our Lord, what should be expected of us? Then we hear Brother Branham say, if you have nothing good to say about a brother, then keep quiet. If we really believe that we have been pardoned by God, then we should really maintain respect for the Lord, for His Word, but also respect for one another. Believers have the greatest difficulty with this. People think they have played in the sand with each other and everyone can afford everything. That must not be the case. Beloved, this always clouds the fellowship between us. People talk instead of praying, and it's always back and forth. It can't go on like this. We have wholeheartedly committed ourselves to the kingdom of God, but with a purpose, and this objective must be that a bride, a word bride, who can be caught up to meet the bridegroom, can be taken out and prepared as a result of the proclamation of the word. Perhaps now comes a whole new phase, a phase in the fear of God, in reverence for His word, that we consider anew what can come about as a result of what we say. If we fix our eyes on the Lord, and if what we confess with our mouths has become precious to us, namely God's word and the cause of God, how should we use our lips to proclaim and speak about what has become great to us? It says in Acts chapter 2 that when they were filled with the Spirit, they proclaimed the great works of God. A person who has been pardoned by God and filled with the Holy Spirit has only one task: to proclaim the great deeds of God. But there are a few verses that I jotted down in a hurry just now, here from Proverbs. Solomon was a man with wisdom, with experience, and we might go backwards from chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 26, from verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Wouldn't we all like that to be the case? As long as you still have wood and put it in there, well, it continues to burn. And when the wood runs out, so does the fire. And that would be time, high time, for the fire to go out. And it goes on here, and where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. God would be thanked if this were true, that there were no more. Then we would finally have peace and could serve the Lord completely devoted, carefree. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Let us compare this word with the Sermon on the Mount, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Seek and pursue peace and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. It goes on, the words of a talebearer are like delicious morsels that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. If we take these words to heart, really take them to heart, and say, Lord, have mercy on us for the sake of your holy name. Every word of God is pure truth. Every word of God is given so that we can believe it from the heart, and not only believe it, but inwardly agree with it and say, Lord, if it is not yet so, then let it become so. I don't know if we all realize the implications and consequences of one side or the other. If God is gracious to us, then we will endeavor to let His word work out in our lives in this respect as well, for what it was said, for what it was written. The words of a talebearer are as delicious morsels that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. It is of no use to anyone, not to me, and not to you. It is a beautiful glaze, beautifully coated, but nothing more. The heart and the lips must match. It has to get there. There's no other way. It goes on to say, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. God sees through it all. God sees it all. He hears it all. It goes on to say, when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. We are not here to judge, but one thing should be clear to all of us. We are here to be told by God that we must not give free rein to our tongues. That is what we are here for. And no one is speaking in anger, but really out of a deep longing for God to come into His own, for trust to be rebuilt, for togetherness and solidarity to be re-established, and for the Lord to bring it about. There are a few more passages. I wish we didn't need to read such scriptures, but if they are in the Bible, it must be necessary for them to be read. Otherwise, they would have no reason to exist. Chapter 25, verse 21 says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." This is also a word from the Lord. When we sometimes think that someone is after us, we have the task of heaping coals of fire on his head. And then comes the promise, "And the Lord will reward thee." God sees everything. He knows the motive. He knows why we do or say what. Chapter 25, verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." So is a word spoken at the right time. There are golden apples in a silver bowl, a marvelous sight, something beautiful to rejoice in. So are the words spoken at the right time. I wish for all of us that we had the opportunity, the grace from God, to obey this. And I'm sure that the Lord will help each and every one of us to do so. We could go on going over everything. And I have been of the opinion all these years that God will do everything. But how does God do it? Always through His Word and through His Spirit. God cannot do more than what is said, told, promised, commanded to us through His Word. Because faith comes by hearing. Everything that God does, He does according to His Word. Before we can see these things come into existence, they must be spoken openly, but they must be read from the Word of God. It must not be a thing that someone presents here just to present it. It must be from the Word of God. Here we have the next instruction. Chapter 24, from verse 11. "Deliver those that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain." Oh, deliver them. What do these words mean? deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. When someone is condemned, when he is to be executed, so to speak, we are called upon, oh, set them free. We must not take part in any judgment. Our task is to acquit people, as written here, oh, set them free. In verse 12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, does not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? God wants us to take these words to heart, and he wants our inner being to soften, to melt in his presence, that all hardness of heart, everything that can harm the other person, that could hurt him, that could form an obstacle for him in following the Lord, that we could keep all this away from us by the grace of God. Deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. Oh, deliver them. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, does not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? It goes even further. We are even given the command, or rather, the ungodly, for the godly will not do it. In chapter 24, verse 15, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous, spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. How much wisdom, divine wisdom, is in his word. Not the wisdom of men, wisdom of God, but also wisdom of life. Do you think God is unworldly? Do you think God did not know what instructions we need as human beings, what advice, what we should be told? And especially since the Lord took on human form and came to this earth, has he not gone through all the trials? Does he not sympathize? Is your pain not his pain, and your need his need? And is not the sorrow of us all his sorrow? It is written that he is an high priest that can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. There is no one here in the front who pronounces judgment. There is no one here who wants to hurt even one person That would be the last thing. But one thing is certain. God wants to help us all. There is no word of God, even the strictest, that would not be met with God's love and His helping hand extended to us. Basically, every word of God contains help, comfort, edification, and everything we need. If the Lord could give us the grace to distinguish ourselves from all others as children of God, that there would be a difference, that one would know our tongue is glowing with divine fire. Our lips are anointed to speak that which glorifies God and builds one another up, for we all should and must contribute to the spiritual upbuilding, each according to his part. And yet so few of us have an opportunity to serve the Lord extensively. Not everyone can go out as an evangelist, but we all have an opportunity to serve the Lord in a humble way, in a surrendered way, as people who no longer live for themselves, but who live for the Lord. We don't know when the Lord will come, but one thing we do know is that He is coming soon, and I will believe to the end and expect that at the end the church will be as she was at the beginning. There are two things. One word speaks of the fact that love will grow cold in many because unrighteousness will abound. But just as well, in the bride of the Lamb, the first love must be there again, burning. And I want to believe that we may belong to it by grace. But we have to be vigilant and see through everything that comes our way. Me, I haven't either. I have failed often enough. I have failed often enough. I am not standing here as a Pharisee, as someone who places himself above others, but as a person who feels his own suffering and misery. But one thing should be clear. Our God looks down on us in favor. He wants to help us, to show us the way, how we can be a blessing to one another, and how we can be used by Him. What does James write? We all know the scriptures, that from one fountain cannot come sweet water and bitter. A divine spring must well up within us, and from this spring must flow forth sweet water. An atmosphere in which every person feels at ease. When we open our lips, others must be blessed. I have said it often enough. Abraham did not need to pray, "Dear God, bless me. Lord, bless me." No. God said to him, "I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. Finish. He went off. He was a blessing. Why? Because he was a man who had received God's promise of blessing in his heart, and he believed it. And because the word of the Lord had come to him, and God had made a covenant with him, and this promise was given in this word, he could be a blessing. And do you know what else the Lord said? In thee shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. What was it? A man of God. A man like you and me, living in Ur, in Chaldea, on the other side of the Euphrates River, serving other gods, and suddenly God enters his life. And the moment God entered his life, the turning point came. The turning point came. He had a path ahead of him, a goal in front of him, and God fulfilled everything he had promised. According to Galatians, we, through Christ, the spiritual seed of Abraham, are people called into existence through the promise based on the Word of God. And therefore, what God has promised should become a reality through our lives. But this can only happen if we really make ourselves available to the Lord and are able to discern what destroys and what builds up. When I think back to so many things today, how destructive criticism can be, how destructive comments and complaints can be, and we realize what the result is. And sometimes I have silently asked myself the question, have we all learned the lesson from everything? Where are we spiritually today? Has God been able to show us by grace what builds up and what doesn't? What we have to do and what we don't have to do? Verse 8 of this word, which was read to us from Psalm 5, also says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Let us do the same. Come into the presence of God in holy reverence and say, Lord, here we are. Do with us as it pleases you. Verse 9 says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Not just a way, not just my way, but thy way. This is my prayer today and your prayer, that we might say, make thy way straight before my face. Often enough, we may have ways that we want to go, and we lay our way before the Lord and say, Lord, make straight my path. But if it's not God's way, Why would he make it straight? Is it his way? He will pave it. There's no other way. God cannot say yes to our path. We have to say yes to his way. That is the order. That is the divine order. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before me. This is the cry of my soul tonight. Make your way straight before me. What is written by John? He will go before you to prepare your way. It must be the way of God. No other way leads to the goal. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. But that is not our concern now. Our concern is that we can say from the heart, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before me. How wonderful it would be if we could all call on the name of the Lord from the depths of our souls and say, O God, test me, find out how I mean it, and see whether I am on the right way, whether I am on your way. You all know the testimony of Brother Branham when this prophetic utterance was made. You made the right choice. It was my way. It was my way. We must make the choice. But if it is to be right, it must be in the will of God. And no man can give any guarantee unless God gives him grace. It will then become manifest whether this is the case, whether God can place his blessing on it. Lord, show me your way and give me the strength to follow it. Lord, reveal your will to me and give me the strength to do it. If we say this to the Lord with all our soul tonight, he will hear us, because it is a prayer after his heart. That's how David prayed, and that's how we can pray. He was heard. Why shouldn't we be heard? May the Lord help me, us, and all his people on the whole earth, so that we can experience and see his power and glory in the near future. To him who has made so much effort, had so much patience with us, and is so gracious to us, to this day, that we don't just go thinking that everything is all right, but can examine ourselves again and again before his face and face him anew and say, Lord, here we are. Here we are. Do with us as it pleases you. And the moment we have truly placed our heart, our whole being, and also our lips within the bounds of the Word, by the grace of God, it cannot be otherwise than that the Lord confirms His word and reveals Himself. How many would like God to reveal Himself in His glory? There is no other way. It must be so. God's word is true, and He is truthful. He is faithful in everything He does. All His testimonies, all His decrees, everything His holy mouth has ever spoken. This is eternally true. We can rely on it. Oh, that we could believe and place ourselves at the Lord's disposal. We too would have to and would behold the glory of God. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your precious and holy word. We now feel that You want to help us. Every hour, every moment of our lives, You are endeavoring, O God, to help Your people. I thank You from the bottom of my heart for all the precious words, Lord, for the words of rebuke, for the words of admonition, Lord, for no word is written in vain, but it is there, Lord, to set us right. I and all of us, Lord, we bow in the dust before You, here in Your holy temple, Lord, for You are the true God, and You want us to walk in Your word, Lord. Give grace to me and to us all. Give us all a circumcised tongue, Lord, and a circumcised heart, and a circumcised mind, Lord. You know me, You know us all. To You alone be the glory. I ask it of You, Lord, tonight. Help me by grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.